Welcome to the Simply His Coffee Shop. We are in part 5 of our 10 Commandments 6-part series. If you haven't watched the other shows, you really should go watch them. They have been incredible up to this part. Today we are talking about the 6th commandment, the 8th commandment, and the 9th commandment. And you're like, well, where'd 7 go? Well, next week we will be talking about the 7th and the 10th commandment. With breaking them up, we just felt that that was the easiest thing to do so that it made more sense. Because the 6th commandment is do not kill. The 8th commandment is do not steal, and the 9th commandment is do not lie. So those ones went together a little bit better, and then next week we'll be talking about adultery and coveting. So these three go together a little bit better, and we can cover them a little bit easier. So that's what we're going to be doing today. So let's dive right in, because I know these are going to be jumping around a little bit on all of them as the conversation gets started. But Donna, do not kill. I know you think that it probably should have been written a little bit of a different way.
Yes.
How should it have been written?
Thou shalt not kill is better translated thou shalt not murder.
Right.
There's a very, very big difference between, say, capital punishment, which is its own complete different category, mm-hmm. dying in battle, mm-hmm. which is a soldier's duty right. to the country. Right. That's a different category. And then, of course, personal vendetta, mm-hmm. going against somebody out of a vengeful, hateful spirit. That's right. murder. Right. So our Bibles really, especially right now in our modern West, really would be best translated to say, thou shalt not murder.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, a common question, especially among new believers, is if God says thou shalt not kill, mm-hmm. then why in the Old Testament right? was there so much warring killing. And right. killing between Israel and the other nations? Okay, so first of all, there is a difference between a death in battle and a personal vendetta. However, I do actually have several really good reasons that might help strengthen somebody's faith out there, so I'll share them really briefly. There was the preservation of the messianic bloodline, okay? These pagan nations were warring with Israel. Right. They had to react in self-defense.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you have two nations at war, if one of them sits there and goes, no, we believe in peace, we believe in peace, they're going to die. They would have been cut
right,
off
right.
the messianic yeah. bloodline, meaning the bloodline that eventually resulted in Jesus being brought to save us all
right.
would not have happened had Israel gone extinct because they were trying to take the peaceful route mm. in
right.
the Old Testament.
Right.
Once Christ arrived, there was no more ordering to defeat the enemy. Note that. Why? Because the Messiah had come. All right. Second, preservation of God's people, period, in general. If they didn't defend themselves early on, how would the world have ever known that God's people had the answers, the Mosaic law? People wouldn't know what sin was unless it had been carried through the bloodline of God's
right.
people, which of course adds to number 3, the preservation of God's ways and purity, his laws, his character. That message was carried through because Israel survived while the pagan nations were falling into idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the narrative that would have been carried into today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Evil, wickedness, idolatry, if they had not lived and survived.
Yeah.
Number 4 on my list, to express God's intolerance of the practices within certain cultures, such as the Canaanites, mm. who were engaged in all kinds of horror, yeah. including child sacrifice.
Yeah. Right.
Right? Some ask why the children of these pagan territories were not always spared.
Right.
But as is evident throughout the whole Bible and human history, these children could and very likely would have easily grown up with the resentment towards Israel,
yep.
adopted the wickedness of their ancestors, turned against Israel, becoming bloodthirsty for revenge, and that would have started the war all over again, leading to more bloodshed
mm-hmm.
for all of the reasons just stated, including the offspring of the now grown children at the time of war.
Yeah.
So when you look at that and it seems like, why did God allow such violence? There are reasons, and this is true for anything.
Mm-hmm.
If you're approaching the Bible with this, well, if God so loved the world, then why did he this, that?
Right.
The attitude is wrong. If you're sincerely seeking, if God, then why?
Right.
The answers are there. Mm-hmm. The scholars have found the answers to a lot of things mm-hmm. that people are circulating right now, absolutely every single day. If God, then why? If God, then why? Mm-hmm. The answers are there. A quick Google search will sometimes mislead you, mm-hmm. but I promise you the answers are there if you're willing to look deep enough.
One of the things that I recently had somebody mentioned to me, well, I'll just say my daughter, Kat, and she was saying, when you look at for these answers and you're looking at the Old Testament, you know, there's so much warfare, just the culture in general, the history of yeah. the world. And when, like you're saying, when one nation was wiped out, the whole culture was erased.
Right.
So we would have lost, right. you know, the ancient writings from God himself and things like that. You know, but the other thing you see God operating using mankind within the imperfect context of the setting of the world, right. which is imperfect.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of things in the Old Testament that aren't perfect, and they're yeah. shows for a different day. But if God is such a loving God, then why did he yeah. do this or this? Well, if you take the general larger scope of what was world culture at the time, God's using our imperfectness and our imperfect culture and the conditions that aren't perfect and all these different things to create a solution for a problem,
right.
a mess we've already made. Yeah. And so it's God using imperfect circumstances and imperfect people to come up with yeah. the best solution that can occur on earth until we're in a place that is perfect.
Wow, that's and good,
so,
Allie. Yeah,
that's not good. Mine, it's my daughter's. But it just seemed to apply to what
that
you're saying.
That is so good.
Yeah.
So how about let's move on to do not steal. So I have a great little story about this one. I mean, I'm sure there's more theological stuff that we can go into on the do not steal, but that one is a little bit more self-explanatory, mm-hmm. I guess. But so my daughter, Rebecca, she was probably six or seven. Well, we had gone to the mall and we were going to different stores and we ended up in the children's place. And she wanted one of these like little slap bracelet things. It was a unicorn slap bracelet, I think. And I told her, no, we can't buy that right now. Don't just put it back, whatever. Well, unbeknownst to me, she stuck it in her pocket, knowing that she was not supposed to do that. So we get to the car and then she pulls it out. And then my other daughter, Nita, was like, hey, Mom, she has the slap bracelet. She stole the thing from the store. I'm like, Rebecca, did you steal? She's like, yeah. I'm like, why did you do that? You know we're not supposed to do that. So I marched her right back into the store. And on the way, when we were going in there, I was telling her, you better hope that the manager doesn't call the police on you, because right. that's what happens to thieves, is sometimes the cops get called and you get taken to jail. So
right.
you really better hope that they don't call the cops on you. And I'm just playing it up, because here's the thing. I don't want my kids to think that it's okay, or that mm-hmm. it's a joke, or that it's anything, because guess what?
Right.
It's a gateway. Mm-hmm. Same as like, I don't want them getting into my purse. They're not allowed to take stuff out of my purse. To me, that's stealing. Don't get into Mama's purse. But that's a whole nother side note. Seriously.
It's going to be its own show.
That is its own show. But I'm angry as all get out. And we're marching back into the store. And I go up to the counter. And bless the little girl's heart that was at the counter. She wasn't expecting me. And she wasn't playing along right at first, which if you're a store clerk and a mama brings her kid in, please play along. It will help, because she's doing the right thing. So I get up there and I'm like, Becca, you better start telling her what you did, because I'm not going to let a thief letting her know what was going on. I'm not going to let a thief be in my house. So you better start telling her what you did. And so she was just crying, and the lady was like, oh, what happened, honey? I'm like, oh, no, it's not, oh, what happened, honey? You tell her what you did. You did this. You tell her what you did. And she's just, she won't talk or say anything. And of course, I'm basically commentating, you tell her that you stole something and you are happy that she's not going to call the cops on you and tell them that to take you to jail. And the lady was like, did you do it on accident? I'm like, oh, no, she didn't do it on accident.
Right.
She knew what she was doing.
Right.
You better call the cops
on
her.
That's why she didn't put it on her arm.
Exactly.
She
put it in her pocket. She hid it and didn't bring it out until we were in the car.
Right.
So then finally the lady's like, okay, this mom is really mad. And there was a group gathering around us, because she was the only cashier too. So there's this whole other group of moms and dads and stuff watching, and they're like, giving me the thumbs up. So I'm like, thank you. Other parents are thinking this is the right thing to do. But we gave it back to the lady, and she has never forgotten that lesson, just so that you know. It was an impactful lesson, but I wanted her to know that this is very, very serious. Right. And if I didn't take it seriously as a parent to teach her this lesson, who knows what else she might have been starting to do, you know? And so, and as we were leaving, one of the other parents leaned over, "Good job, Mom." I'm like, "Thanks." And then we marched back out of the store and went to the car, and then we came home. But, you know, that was a memorable thing for her. And she still talks about it today, and she's almost 9 now. Wow. She's like, "Mom, remember that one time when I stole something?" I'm like, "Yeah, you haven't forgot it, have you?" I'm like, "Are you ever going to steal again?" And she's like, "Nope." I'm like, "Yeah, you better not. You know what'll happen."
Parenting moments like that can alter the course of that life.
Absolutely.
That was very important that you did that. Even with your gathering audience, that you don't know if they approve of what you're doing or not, but you did it anyway.
Yeah. Well,
so
and
kudos to you on that note.
I'm like, "I'm not going to raise a thief. I'm sorry."
I think you're right in calling it a gateway.
It's a gateway.
It's one of those things that kids can play with and see what they can get by with, but eventually it can lead to more. And that's where I think the danger comes in. The language in the scripture is actually very clear.
It's
the etymology all the way back. It's
very clear.
And what it comes down to is, don't take things that do not belong to you through force or deceit. Mm-hmm. So if I hold a gun to you and rob you and take your wallet, that's stealing. But if I come in and I borrow it without asking, that's stealing.
There's no
way to dig around that language and make it okay. And if you're taking through exploitation, basically, if you get something that you did not come by honestly, or it was not given to you freely, out of somebody's heart because they love you.
Right.
Or because they owed it to you somehow and it was a payment.
Right.
Most everything else is covered by the language of stealing. It's a very straightforward
language. And that's why I even mentioned the whole purse thing. I don't like my kids going and getting stuff in my purse, because to me that is stealing. Or if they go into each other's rooms and take something or borrow something, I'm like, "No, that's not yours. Did you ask?" You can't just go in and take stuff, because, again, I feel like that's a little bit of a gateway, you know, that it's okay. "Oh, I can go in my sister's backpack and take her snacks."
Right.
Well, no, that's not okay. You have to ask first, because it's a form of stealing. And I mean, I'm like so picky about it. And Kate remembers this too. It's like, even when we're at the grocery store, and you know how a lot of people will taste the fruit or the grapes or whatever to see if they're good. I'm like, really? Look at them. Anyways.
Well, they're sold by weight.
Exactly.
So you're weighing less when you're...
Exactly. And that's why I always told the kids, you can't eat the grapes. They're sold by the pound. You cannot eat them. That's stealing. And then other parents, they don't think anything about that because they're doing it themselves. And it's like, no, that's sold by the weight. Now, occasionally, like if they're hangry and we're in the store and we have to get stuff, I may open the prepackaged thing because I know it's...
You find the piece.
Exactly. It's by the... piece. Exactly. So it's a little bit different, but I've always done that with the kids.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, what about things that are not material? You know, like people deceiving to the point that somebody's reputation is stolen. Or, you know, justice is stolen because of somebody's testimony.
That's good.
Exactly.
Or, you know, dignity being stolen through the prayer chain, gossip line. You know, no, seriously. Seriously. And then, you know, what do you do with plagiarism? You know, that's theft.
Good one.
That is theft.
You know?
That's a good one. That one
it's theft of intellectual property. So now you're talking about something that's not tangible.
Right.
And so a lot of the things you're mentioning come under the language of bearing false witness against your neighbor.
Yeah.
We do have to take a really quick break, but we'll be right back.
Hey, gals. Whether you are married, taken, single, or ready to mingle, you'll want to grab your girls and check out Simply His newest Galentine Day package. See what I did there? Gather your girls and dive into a fun and faith-filled night as you discover how God sees you through eyes of love and complete acceptance. God's design to use women as influencers, your true identity in Christ, and the life of victory that God has destined for you. From the Simply His division of Defender Publishing comes the extraordinary 30-day devotional, Arise, by Katie Walker and Philippa A. Buens. Arise is the perfect devotional to share with the important women in your life. We are also including the brand new Simply His tumbler. This stunning turquoise stainless steel tumbler is the perfect on-the-go cup. This tumbler is a great vessel for those toasty, hot, early morning coffees or those ice-cold, refreshing drinks. Speaking of hot and toasty beverages, we have a splendid Simply His Irish breakfast tea that is ideal to serve at the next girl time brunch. This loose leaf tea is a smooth and balanced blend that is beautiful on its own or can be served with a splash of milk for a creamier taste. I'm very excited to announce the release of the newest addition to the Simply His merchandise, the sleek rose gold Simply His t-shirt. This shirt comes in sizes small to 3X and has the Simply His logo printed in metallic rose gold on a soft and lightweight t-shirt. We've included it in this package so you can get your hands on it as soon as possible, whether it's for one of your gals or just treating yourself this Galentine's Day. Shop Simply His online at skywatchtvstore.com or call 844-750-4985. Don't miss out. For only $50 plus shipping and handling, you don't want to miss out on this phenomenal package. Shop Simply His online at skywatchtvstore.com or call 844-750-4985.
Welcome back. We are continuing our discussion on Commandments 6, 8, and 9. And we were talking about stealing. And right before the break, we were mentioning theft of intangible items, like even identity. There's so many people that have had their identity stolen or fraudulent things happening with their, you were just telling us about.
Yeah, a couple of months ago, there was a gentleman that it was kind of a fraud that was being perpetuated on a specific demographic
of
Americans. And this elderly gentleman is on his computer playing solitaire and a window pops up. You know, Windows 10, you know, warning, there's, you know, blah, blah, blah. So he clicks it and he calls and does the thing. You know, it looks legitimate to this gentleman.
It does look legitimate.
And this gentleman is not uneducated. He's very smart. But, you know, he does everything these people tell him to do. They have him transfer $3 million in cryptocurrency, which is now gone. So his family has lost all of that. You know, so think about that theft.
Yeah, that's, you know, just
and
crazy.
Falling into that deception of fear, feeding the fear that something's wrong with my computer. In this day and age, unfortunately, especially around, you know, specific holidays, it seems to, like, increase.
Spike.
Yeah.
Spike big time,
yeah.
Which just goes right into the do not lie.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the language around thou shalt not bear false witness. And what's funny is this one actually looks straightforward, but there's a lot of debate within the scholarly, biblical, theological realm about what this specifically is talking about. And it calls into question a lot of matters of ethics. Well, hold on. If this is okay, then what about this? And it gets kind of muddy. But generally, the language around it is bearing false witness against your neighbor. And against your neighbor is a key part of that phrase. You know, it has to do with slander and gossip, and it also has to do with testimony given within the judicial system.
That
you would not say something untrue that causes somebody else to be convicted of a crime, or, you know, they might be incarcerated or they might lose their property. And then now you're almost back into the realm of, is it bearing false witness or is it theft when this person's future is stolen from them or their property is...
Exactly.
It starts intertwining, which is part of why these were grouped together the way they were, because you start getting into one and now you're also talking about the other.
Or like with legislation, depending on what state somebody is in, if you're bearing a false witness, it could mean the difference between lethal injection or
life
incarcerated
in
for life. Yeah.
Right.
Know?
And so now you're talking about thou shalt not kill and is it murder? And so the three just really, they really do intertwine at times.
Some of the language that is occurring in this particular commandment prohibition is tied to more of kind of a court idea. bearing false witness will understand that according to Deuteronomy and the rest of the Mosaic Law, lots of places, that when one person came against another with a grievance in Israel, they had to have witnesses, plural, to bear a testimony for or against this person in order for that person to be found guilty, innocent, and so on. This is actually part of the reason why when we get to the New Testament and we read that the religious and political authorities at the time had to drum up some false witnesses against Christ because they couldn't get a legitimate witness. That's why Jesus was technically murdered and not executed in a court of law sense, a sense of an approach. Obviously, for the sake of our salvation, he was also executed as a criminal. Otherwise, there would be no expiation for sin, but that's another show. but see what I mean? It's about this witness, bearing witness kind of an idea. So I actually took from that approach and looked at what Matthew Henry, his concise commentary says, the ninth commandment concerns our own and our neighbor's good name. This forbids speaking falsely on any matter, lying, equivocating, and any way devising or designing to deceive our neighbor, speaking unjustly against our neighbor to hurt his reputation. The prayer chain.
Yeah.
Bearing false witness against him, or in common conversation, slandering, backbiting, tail-bearing, making what is done amiss worse than it is, and in any way endeavoring to raise our reputation upon the ruin of our neighbors. How much this command is every day broken among persons of all ranks. Wow. Gossip is included. So just as a really quick disclaimer, the prayer chain, I want to state, there is a time when the prayer chain is a wonderful thing. Yeah, I mean, seriously, when you bring a fellow non-believer, somebody you bring into conversation so that there can be a corporate agreement about a way of bettering their life.
Right.
When you come together and you mutually agree upon something in the spiritual realm, you're bringing God into it so that this person can be blessed and edified.
Yeah.
That or grow spiritually.
Yeah.
That is a wonderful thing.
Sure.
If somebody needs healing, pray. The Bible's very specific about these things.
Yeah.
If somebody is struggling, pray.
Yeah.
But when you have a piece of juicy gossip, we got to pray for Sister Mary because I heard, let me tell you a really quick story, just a nitty bitty one that I heard once in church. A man is hanging out in bars, not living for the Lord, totally unsaved. He's got a riotous lifestyle doing the prodigal son thing. And then one day he gets radically saved and the whole church celebrates. This guy is saved. Yay. They're all excited. A couple days later, his car is spotted at the bar again. So a little rumor weed sprouts up in the church. This guy's back to his old tricks. He's hanging out at the bar again. He's hanging around with women. Then they find out 2 weeks later, when he comes into church with seven of his saved friends from the bar.
Look at that.
Look at what he was actually doing. But by then, his reputation has been ruined because they bore false witness in a prayer chain.
Without knowing.
We got to pray for Brother Bill because Brother Bill's back at the bar. You think you know what is going on. To bear false witness doesn't just mean I saw Mary buy the apple, but I'm going to say she stole it. It also means I don't really know what's going on, but this is a really good story. And I'm going to take it and spread it around. That is also bearing false witness.
Absolutely. We are almost out of time, but really quick, Allie. I know there is a more difficult aspect to all of this. Do you want to share a little bit about that?
I would love to share. I'm not 100% sure. I can offer perfect answers for everything. In preparing for this episode, one of the things I ran across in my research is, like you said, you know, they're speculative on one hand because they're curious, and sometimes they're just trying to set the Bible up for contradiction. And wherever these questions are stemming from, it did come up repeatedly. And that is, if it's a sin to lie, then what about times when a person lies? And one of the examples that came up in my research was people during the Holocaust who were harboring fugitives. Right. And they're at the door saying, no, we're not harboring fugitive. You get these periods of time where there's a real ethical dilemma around how does a person conduct themselves. And I'm not even going to pretend that I can answer that perfectly.
Yeah,
I can give a couple of different angles. And one is that the Bible does, all throughout, assert an undertone that truth is an important theme. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are true. Yeah. You know, I mean, speaking the truth, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Yeah. It is important to God that we are speaking the truth.
Sure. Yeah.
On the other hand, the example I just gave, and we see the story of Rahab, you know, where she, again, she harbors fugitives and she's in the bloodline of Christ.
Right.
So where does this come in? And I'm kind of sitting here dealing with this dilemma of what does it really mean when
what's
we're going to start really pulling apart
the
weeds?
Is there anything definitive?
And I don't have a perfect answer. And being that I don't want to try to assert something that could be taken out of context and spun into, you know, Allie says it's okay to lie, or Allie says, I can't even go there. Because God's picture of what we do and the ethics of what makes the world spin and everything else is so much bigger than my limited picture.
Finite.
And truthfully, here I am in my individualist American modern day culture, and I don't know what it was like to be Rahab standing at the door, knowing that I could die, but I'm trying to stand for what I suddenly believe is right in a pagan society where I've decided to convert. Can't even speak to all the elements
exactly.
of what that was like. What I can say is that Catherine, actually, I'm sitting here before the show. I've got this dilemma. What do I do? And she reminded me, well, I shouldn't have forgotten this, that the first of the commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. And the second is like unto as the first, which is love your neighbor as yourself. If you're motivated constantly by that,
that's right.
That's going to be where you know what to do. And I want to be really careful. That does not mean I'm going to use this as an example. Okay. Does this dress make me look fat? Like, what's the answer to that question?
Honey.
Some people are like, you know, you're supposed to say no because you don't hurt the feelings. Like, I'm not even going to answer that. We could pick these weeds apart all day long.
Sure. Of course.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. And I think that we are supposed to be speaking truth.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But again, I was not
truth
Rahab in the doorway of that home that day.
And that's where we can't judge. We're not the judge, thank God.
Nope. Right?
Oh, things would be totally different if we were the judge, right? So that's where God's grace is sufficient, and God is ultimately the one that's going to decide whether or not it was acceptable or not.
And he knows our hearts.
Absolutely.
So if you think you're going to lie or bear false witness, don't think you can lie to God.
No.
He sees it all.
Absolutely.
So there's no bluffing him.
Nope. Yeah.
That's right.
And we are all out of time yet again. Are you guys enjoying this? These have been completely fascinating shows, and you don't want to miss next week when we talk about coveting and adultery. We thought that would be a great Valentine's Day episode.
Wow.
Imagine that. Please come back and see us next week here in the Simply His Coffee Shop. We'll see you next time.